Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name's Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. You know, these are difficult times that the world is in. There's so many ripples of trouble and currents of tribulation all over the world in different nations, both here in the United States and abroad. And many people are wondering, well, how should we live then? How do we handle all the turbulence that are in this hour? Well, we have a prophet in the house today, Dr. Mark Sharona, and it's wonderful to have you with us again, Mark. And we're going to be speaking today about this whole issue of the times that we're living in, because in the world, it says, in the world you'll have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer. So that's one clue for us, because he's overcome the world. And so we have a lot of hope as Christians and a great position to live in these days. We don't have to be worried or troubled like the world because we have safety.
Yeah, we are living in a time unique to all history, because for the first time in all of history, it's not just a region that's being shaken here or there. Historically, things have shaken regionally, the entire globe. If something goes wrong economically, the whole globe is affected. The tsunami that affects Japan affects America.
Right.
And we are now in the season when the prophet said the plowman was going to overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seeds. We are in a season where the cycles are overlapping and stepping over each other.
Now, in one of our other programs, you delivered an awesome prophecy about these days and about this emergence of a company of young people who are going to rise up and be true champions in this hour. Do you want to reiterate that word?
Yeah, you know, I believe in the next 3 to 5 years, we are going to see the greatest outpouring we have ever seen. And in that, we are going to see an ingathering of 20 and 30-somethings that we have yet to see and never seen in the history of the move of God in 2,000 years. And my persuasion is that, you know, when Isaiah says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, stars only come out at night.
Right.
So the stars are about to come out.
Exactly. I believe it. And, you know, if any of you that are watching have young people, you know, between the ages of 20 and 30 plus, man, start praying for them right now. Because when you hear the prophetic word and you believe it and you say, I'll take that, that's my word, it puts it into action for you. And so all of us with children in our 20s and 30s or grandchildren, man, we're going to get on board with that word. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and the rest of us have to realize that we have to steward the move of God and be here to be loving guardians and mentors to that generation, because they're going to look to someone, and we've got to be prepared to minister to them.
Right. And in our generation, especially mine, I mean, I'm in, you know, over 60 now, so it's like the last 30, 40 years of life. We have to finish strong.
Yes.
You know, that's really important, that we're not going to, just because a younger generation's coming up into their hour of the demonstration of the power of the Lord and their mandate to go and serve Him and lay their life down for Him, is that we also have to continue in that posture and continue to utilize the gifts that God has given us.
Yeah, when you look carefully at the move of God in Scripture, infancy and old age always come together at end times.
Wow.
So that end times are also beginning times. So where there's an Isaac, there has to be an Abraham.
Right.
Where there's a Jacob, there has to be a Joseph and a Benjamin.
Right.
Where there is a Jesus and a Mary, there has to be a Simeon and Anna, a Zacharias, and an Elizabeth,
right,
along with the infancy and old age coming together, flowing to the heights of Zion. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old men together. Well, what do you mean virgin? How can you be a virgin, be an old man, old woman? Well, it's about the virgin church, a virgin purity in Christ.
Love it.
Following the Lamb wherever He goes. God's going to make our generation young again.
Right. You know, I've noticed a lot of times, like when there's a prophetic word, for example, it says, well, there's, you know, trouble sometimes coming, get ready, get prepared, that it actually creates fear in believers. But we should not ever be a people of fear, because if there's darkness coming in the world, like in Isaiah 60, for example, in that whole chapter, there's only half a verse that talks about the darkness that will cover the earth and the gross darkness of people. The rest of it is about the blessing that is coming on the body of Christ in that hour. And so we have to read the right mail. We can't read mail that doesn't have our name on it. That's not even allowed by law.
Exactly. I mean, the fact is, everything is a setup for God to display his glory through his sons and daughters.
Right.
All of creation is groaning in travail.
Right.
For God's sons and daughters to come into their own.
Right.
I believe we're living in the greatest opportunity ever.
Yeah.
For God to show up, show out, and show off.
Totally. I think of right now, like Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. They, you know, there was trouble sometimes, of course. You know, I mean, the political situation was not good. They had been in drought and famine. You know, things were bad. And the widow at Zarephath, she had a POV that was not a kingdom POV. Her point of view was that, you know, I don't have anything. I'm a single mom. I only have a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. I'm going to make a cake. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. She actually said that to Elijah. No, this is my plan. You know, she had a vision for death because of the times, and she had a plan of action to die. Mm-hmm. And she was intending on fulfilling that. And yet, when the prophet came with the word of hope, when the prophet came with a word that gave her a different perspective, and she landed on that word and started working that word, then everything changed for her life. And instead of death, she was given life. Instead of lack, she was given prosperity. Instead of, you know, a narrow place to live, she was given a broad place to live. And that is a word for our viewers today, I believe.
It is interesting that you use that story, because Zarephath was Jezebel's hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Jezebel, a Phoenician queen, on the throne with Ahab in Israel, seeking to pervert the word of God for her own ends and control all the resources. If ever we are living in a day when the Jezebel spirit is encroaching upon our freedoms, our liberties, and even our right to hold to a true conscience, mm-hmm. it's today. And her policies
totally
were not working for the people in her own hometown.
No. And they're not working in this
day. And they're not
either.
Working now. And that little widow woman discovered that when you invite or embrace, she had to do both, because she was ready to die. She was, I only have this, I only have that, and my son and I are going to die. Now, in that day, to be a widow was to be in a really uncomfortable place,
mm-hmm.
and her son represented her future, mm-hmm. because if you didn't have a son, you couldn't, the son is the builder of the family name,
right.
So she's about to lose her future as well in the death of
yep.
her son.
Mm-hmm.
No legacy, no future.
Wow.
And Elijah comes along, having been commanded by God to leave where the brook dried up, because you can't be part of the situation
right.
and say it's not going to rain and not have your brook dry up.
Right.
So he's got to experience it as well. But God says, I've commanded a widow, which means long before he got there, God had already talked to her. She just didn't know what to do with it.
Wow, that is so good. And God had cared for Elijah in the midst of it. Like, he was the actual one that caused the drought, actually, because of the prophetic unction. But God provided for him, so he wasn't hungry or thirsty during that time. And then God led him to the widow at Zarephath so that both of them could continue to be blessed. He's got an answer for
right.
all of his people in this hour.
Yeah, and they worked together. There was mm-hmm. there was a very relational dynamic, a
mm-hmm.
corresponding dynamic. And when he says to her, after she says, I have only this, I have only that, he says, go do as you said, only bring me a bread cake first.
Right.
The law of first things in Scripture is very important. The firstborn has to be dedicated to the Lord. If you go through all the firsts, so he's teaching her the principle of first things.
Right.
And she says to him, as the Lord your God of Israel lives. In other words, I know he's God, but he ain't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you'll begin to operate in the principle of first things, you'll discover the God who's already told you that you're going to make it, even though you keep rejecting it, is the God who can prove you to be fruitful even in the midst of famine if you'll operate in the law of first things.
Yeah, I love that. Now, I know that yourself and of course, us at XP and others of our friends that we run with in the ministry that are people of great credibility and humble men and women of God who are serving Him in these days, are teaching their people about the goodness of God, mm-hmm. that are teaching principles of faith, not unbelief and fear, but of faith, knowing that God is good. And so do you have any insight for our viewers today now, if we're going to live in the abundance of God in this hour, live in the safety of His love, live in the goodness of His morals, do you have some points for our viewers today that
sure,
we can follow?
Sure. I think, you know, one of the most important things is that God's economic cycles often are the exact opposite of the economic cycles
right.
that are in the world. Isaac is in Gerar in a season of famine, and God says, I'll take 7 years of labor and turn it into a 1 year hundredfold harvest if you'll not leave the difficult place, but prove that I can bring forth fruit out of parched ground. I'll make it rain on your ground
Come on.
If you'll just work with me
Come
and work
on.
With the principles of the kingdom. And in 1 year, it takes 7 years to get a hundredfold harvest.
Right.
It happened in less than a year, all because he operated on the law of first things. He worked with the Lord.
And right in the difficult time.
Exactly.
Too.
It wasn't, like, you know, God said, no, you're not going away and going to where it's going to be better. I want you to prove me right here where it looks like it can never happen, because I want to show the people around you that I'm a God that keeps covenant. Because one of the most powerful things that's going to happen in this hour is when the people of the world see our people blessed.
Come on.
They're going to say, how is it that you can be blessed in a season like this? Oh, you want to know? I walk with a God who says he's going to make me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I think one of the greatest testimonies
right.
any covenant community of people can give is the ability to model what it is to be blessed by the God of heaven, by the
right.
God of truth, when everything else isn't working.
Right. That's like Abraham. Like, everyone knew that he served a God
mm-hmm.
who blessed them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were afraid of him, actually. Like,
yeah.
they had a great respect for Abraham because they knew his God was with him because he was blessed.
Yeah.
And we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed.
Highly.
Through covenant, you
yeah.
know. And there's no way we cannot be blessed.
It's impossible. We have to duck to even try to miss it. And
you actually
then
have to believe for the curse in order to not be blessed.
Exactly.
And so our belief system is everything. The world we live in right now, we actually created by our belief system,
mm-hmm.
by the words we speak, by the actions that we perform. And so we can actually create a realm of blessing by simply believing and coming into agreement with God's word, with what He says in His word.
It's very true. And if we go back to Elijah and the widow woman, she had a deeply held mental model about the way the world worked. And her mental model was everything's coming to an end. He actually comes to actually do an intervention
yeah.
to break the mental model
wow.
and break the cycle so she could begin to operate in a kingdom principle and discover, no, this is not the end. This is a beginning of a whole new cycle for me.
Wow. You know, there's someone watching right now, and you've been struggling. You've been afraid of the coming days. You're even afraid to dream for your future. You're afraid to make any financial investments. You've just been stuck. In fact, you've been getting depressed. You've been even storing up food in your cupboards and everything because you're afraid of tomorrow, that there won't be enough. But God wants you to know He's always the God of enough and more than enough for you. He is a covenant-making, a covenant-keeping God. And you've been listening to some words that are putting fear in you. You know, if you're going to store up food, do it with joy, saying, yippee, I'm storing up food. It's going to be a great tomorrow. And I can just see myself throwing food out to everyone. It's going to be great. But if there's fear, if there's unbelief, if there's despair, then you have your mind in a wrong place. You need an intervention. And that's what God is doing right now. He's bringing you an intervention. We're going to be right back because we've got some more keys to share with you, but guaranteed by God, all of you that are watching, you have a great future and a hope because He said so. It is well with your soul. All the days of your life, no matter what goes on in the earth, it is good for you. We'll be right back.
Order Patricia King's new Sacred Time, Sacred Place journal. Develop a rich devotional life with practical guidelines, scripture, and journal space for a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. Order the Sacred Time, Sacred Place journal online now at xpministries.com.
Yeah. Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience Him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
So Mark, we are living in treacherous times. We are facing some things in the world, or at least the world is facing some things. How do we live? Give us some insights.
Well, let's go back to Elijah and the widow woman. God was setting up a partnership. One of the things that Paul speaks of in the New Testament is the word koinonia. Fellowship. It's a partnership. I want God to be my partner in this season more than ever before. And I want to know that God has the ability to take care of me, and not just me, my kids, my grandkids. This little lady, precious little lady who had lost everything and was outside the gates of the city, which means she had already been disenfranchised. She couldn't do business inside the city. Elijah comes along and basically says, look, God is your partner. He's going to marry you in this season.
Wow.
And if you will sustain me, I will see to it that what you have will sustain you, because the word I carry is a creative word from God himself.
Wow.
And I'm letting you know that the cruse of oil shall not fail, nor will the bowl of flour be exhausted.
Wow.
Which means if she's saying, I've got the last bit at the bottom, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel,
right,
and he says it will not be exhausted, he's seeing a supply she doesn't see in the jar or
right,
the cruse. And he's saying, if you'll honor what the word is, it will create the thing that doesn't look like it's there right now. Nature abhors a vacuum because of the way God created it.
Right.
And in the kingdom, we need to realize that if the natural laws and if quantum physics says everything in the universe is connected, how much more do we understand as kingdom people everything is connected? So when we talk about commitment, in the world, it's whatever it takes to do, let it happen. I mean, when I used to be a motivational speaker, you know, you'd tell people, make all the lists of all the things you got to do and be committed to doing all of them. Well, you can knock yourself out and do all of them and still not be aware.
Right.
But commitment in the kingdom isn't whatever it takes.
Right.
It's whatever he says
right,
to you, do it. I can't turn water into wine unless you give me 7 years.
Right.
I need water. I need a vine,
right,
I need some land, and I need to take 7 years before I get the first pressing of grapes. But if Jesus is with me partnering, all I got to do is do what he says, which means I may have to look a little bit foolish and take water and carry it across the floor and let somebody drink it so that they can see that it's wine. When we do what seems to be foolish,
yeah,
then God all of a sudden does what the wisdom of man doesn't understand.
Wow. Over,
I was raised in a Presbyterian church, but I was taught from the time I was a kid that the tithe belongs to God.
Yep.
Mr. Hofick was the plumbing supply guy next to my father who had the home heating and air conditioning. Mr. Hofick would come every Monday and give me two shiny quarters. And my dad would say to me, how much money have you got? I'd say 50 cents. He said, how much goes to God? I said, a nickel. He said, that's right. He said, so let me give you change,
because right,
we're going to take your nickel
yep,
and we're going to give it to God on Sunday morning. I learned how to tithe long before I was ever a believer. Tithing works. And tithing is God's franchise fee. Giving opens the windows of heaven to areas of blessing we couldn't have without it. So to me, first floor getting in on the blessing plan of God, where I'm the head and not the tail, is work with God with your finances and watch God do what you couldn't do otherwise.
My husband and I have lived in those principles ever since we were brand new creations in Christ. In fact, I got born again a year before my husband did. And when I heard about the tithe, I was so excited. I could hardly wait to do it. But I thought, how am I going to do this? Because I was at home with the kids at the time, and my husband was working full time to look after the family. And I thought, I don't have really any money of my own. And then I thought, but in a way I do, because my husband gives me a grocery budget. So I thought, I'm going to take 10% of his income, of his entire income, out of my grocery budget, which was just about the entire grocery budget. And so I gave that to the Lord. And I remember the first time I got to tithe, I was so excited. I thought, oh, Lord, I got to give you the first, the best. And so I didn't have much grocery money left after that, but I honored God first. And I said, but you've got to help me feed my husband, because if I can't, he's going to wonder what happened to all the money he gave me. So I trusted God, and I had just food every single month. I would get food. My husband never asked, where's the money for the food? Because there was always food, always more than enough. And so when Ron got born again, a year later, he had already been tithing without knowing it for a whole year. And of course, from the moment that he was born again, he had a desire to tithe, because it was already set in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And we've seen God open the heavens. And even during hard times, when we would sow into the victory of those hard times, God would come through every single time.
Yeah, he never fails.
Never.
I mean, I'm mindful of a couple in our church that wanted to give a significant first fruits gift. Like when Elijah says to the widow woman, give me a bread cake first. They wanted to give a first fruits gift, and they were in a very difficult place. He had 35 employees, had a construction company. They were getting ready to shut down, totally shut down. And they owed over $1 million, and they had contracts from people that failed to pay them. They had $1,000 left in their savings account. And they came with an envelope and said, Pastor, we need you to receive this. It's our last $1,000 as our first fruits offering. We need a miracle. Well, my first thing was, I can't do this. This is your last $1,000. Right. I honestly said, please. They said, Pastor, you've been teaching on first fruits and giving for so long. We need a miracle. You can't stop us. I said, listen, I'll help you. No. We don't want your money.
Wow,
this is God's.
God bless them.
All I need,
that's
all
a lot
we
of
need.
Faith
yeah.
and love.
And I mean, I'm saying, my heart's breaking. And they're saying, no, you need to receive this. We want you to pray over this and pray for us. We have to fire 35 of our dearest people that have worked for us years in the next 4 days. We need a miracle. So I reluctantly put it in my hand, put their hands on mine. And I pray, and Patricia, I can promise you, if there was faith, it was in spite of me, not because of me. I'm begging God. God, I need, you know, it wasn't faith. It was God, please, for the sake of this couple, please show up and do something. 3 days later, she comes into our midweek service, and she's beaming from ear to ear. I said, what's going on? She said, are you ready? I said, well, okay. She said, yesterday, we got two checks in the mail from two contracts that had never been paid that totaled over $1.3 million. Tomorrow, where we were supposed to close, we're not going to close because before the day ended, we just landed our largest contract in all our business's history, all because we sowed that seed.
I love it. You know, I've seen that happen so many times for so many people, and I want to encourage, especially those of you who are struggling financially right now. We know that, especially in the United States and places like Greece and others, that there's been such horrific economic shakings. But you know, your income that you get from a salary at your workplace or whatever, that's not your source. God is your source. And he has a plan to provide for you if you just look into his eternal eyes, his eternal heart, and with joy, just acknowledge his goodness. There's miracles coming for you. You know, you never see miracles until you need one. That's the nature of the miracle, is that they come when you need it. And I believe that many of you are going to receive miracles, just like the widow of Zarephath got her miracle, just like many others in the Bible. Can I ask you to do something in response to this word that we've been sharing with you today? In the midst of difficult times, can you sow a seed into your tomorrow? Can you sow a seed into your prosperity, into your abundance for tomorrow? You give it unto the Lord. Give Him a first fruits offering. Honor Him with the very first of what you have in your breakthrough. I remember my husband and I years ago when we were just learning how to live by faith with no visible means of support, that, you know, we wrote a check with the last few cents in our bank account, you know, and said, God, this is for you. This is for you. And we wrote it out to a credible ministry and we got our breakthrough. I'd like you to go online right now, pray about giving a significant first fruits offering. You can just go online to our payment portal. Just go onto xbministries.com or xbmedia.com and make your donation now and watch God open the heavens for you. The widow of Zarephath, from the moment that she gave that to Elijah, she never did have a need again after that throughout the whole drought. This is a word for you.